It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com. mybradio.com. That is the robust platform that features every single episode that the listeners heard here on Mind Your Business. Can you imagine? It's all free. Teen Zua from, he wrote the book, A Subscription Economy, even teased me. He was a guest on the show here a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, maybe you shouldn't be giving away all this free content for free. I'm like, But you know what, folks? The good news is, for now, it's still all up for free. I don't know if it'll be that way forever, but for now, it's all up for free. So you can avail yourself again, mybradio.com. That's the platform for this show. Of course, you can access also to listen to us anywhere in the world on the WABC app. Well, yes, we are in the Nielsen top ratings for New York AM radio in the top 10. In fact, was it April or March? One of the months we came in number 3. Yippee-doo. That's very exciting.
Congratulations. Yes,
thank you. You probably recognize the voice, but I'm going to keep you in suspense, so just a little bit longer. That's radio, all right? but coming in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings, is exciting, and we even came as high as number 3. We didn't break 1 or 2 yet. Okay, but you know what? Hey, we'll get there. But number 3 is still very, very exciting. And, of course, a special thank you to you, the wonderful listener of this program, who has your, you know, at the end of the day, you are tuning in because you know week after week, we come at you with great business content. And of course, tonight is going to be no different. Special shout out and a thank you to last week's guest, Ramon Ray. Ramon, a shout out to you. And a special thank you to Jeffrey Hazlett, who's sitting in for me next week. Next week, Sunday night, is Shavuos. I'm not allowed to be on the radio according to Jewish law. And therefore, Jeffrey Hazlett, my good buddy, will be sitting in and doing a very entertaining show. He's always great. And however, everyone will be able to listen to it on the platform for the show. So if you're not able to listen because of religious obligation on Sunday night, no worries. It will be up on mybradio.com. mybradio.com. Well, as the listeners know, every single week we come with a variety of different subjects. Well, again, not every single week we don't cover all the different subjects, but a compilation of throughout the weeks on this program. We come at you with so many different categories, including sales, social media, strategic planning, retail, communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, litigation, you're going to hear about that tonight, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business. Well, you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, a special shout out to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such a critical support role for the show. Srili, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, Tova, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. And a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We're on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm. We have a robust YouTube channel. Tonight's episode will make it up onto YouTube. We're on iTunes, Player.fm. I think I mentioned that one. The Jewish Home, that's a new column that just started. Ron Carr's interview was in there, and so many other goodies. And by the way, you can access everything by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, I'm sorry I kept you in suspense till now. It's none other than Richard Solomon. Richard Solomon is a noted attorney and a business consultant. He's been out there for many decades. I'm not going to say how many because I don't want to give away his age. He's a young guy. You see it on the face. He's been here on the show, and many of the listeners will recognize the name because he has a show on FM radio. So we're not head-to-head. We're buddies, and you know, but he's on the other side of radio. Tell us a little bit about your show, Richard, and then we'll get to your practice.
Thank you for the honor and privilege of being at
this
microphone.
It's always fun getting together. Yes.
Absolutely. So I have a couple different shows, but primarily I have Taking Care of Business, which is a radio show that's broadcast on 88.1 FM. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Solomon Channel. That's really the showcase for all of my radio shows, because I have an environmental show called Rocket Green Radio, and I'm associated with my father's place at the Roslyn Hotel in Roslyn, Long Island,
right,
which is the legendary, my father's place music venue. And so my father's place radio is really broadcast out of there, too.
Nice.
So all of those places all can be found at thesolomonchannel.com, S-O-L-O-M-O-N.
Solomon, yes. And he is a bright guy, no pun intended, going on the Solomon line here. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about three primary categories, and they're all so critical to any small to mid-sized business. They're critical to large businesses as well, but we're going to talk about fines, tickets, and violations. Unfortunately, so many businesses are dealing with this on a, I don't want to say day in and day out basis, because if you're dealing with a day in and day out basis, I don't know how you're in business, but a monthly basis or a quarterly basis, whatever the case is. Richard Solomon is a go-to attorney for this area. Again, you want to keep his number handy. You pray that you don't need to call him, but if you do need to call someone, it's him. We're going to get to his number in a minute. We're also going to talk about trade secrets, how to keep confidentiality to the best of your ability, and how it interacts with your team, your employees. And we're also going to talk about cash flow dynamics. Now, since I teased the listeners about you and your practice, perhaps you could just describe your practice and give the contact information.
I'm a small practice attorney, and I tend to represent the mom-and-pop businesses out there. Mom-and-pop businesses are really under a tremendous challenge these days. A lot of regulation. There's a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. Everything's become really expensive. Everything's complicated. You need really good advisors. Everybody really needs a good accountant. They really do. In fact, I actually think that having a good accountant is more important than having a good lawyer.
By the way, this just shows what an honest, straight-up guy he is.
And so I represent the smaller businesses, and they have a lot of challenges, and they need someone to guide them through the various things that we'll be talking about today, because business has probably never been tougher to conduct than it is today, and probably won't be any easier in the future.
Oh, you're scaring us.
That creates opportunities.
How do people get in touch with you?
The Solomon Channel is a great place to take a look at thesolomonchannel.com, but my office number is 516-371-4924 during business hours.
And again, please.
516-371-4924.
Okay, so which one should we open up? Should we talk about trade secrets and employees? Should we talk about cash flow dynamics or the violations and that whole?
Let's talk about violations, fines, summons. That's
sticky stuff. You want to get it out of the way.
So I remember going to a restaurant and reading a fortune, and the fortune said, taxes are a punishment for doing something right, and fines are a punishment for doing something wrong.
You read that in a fortune cookie?
Yeah, exactly. And yet, in business, you're really hit with both. Yeah. You hit with taxes, high taxes, because there's all kinds of taxes, and that's a burden, a financial burden on a business. But then there's also between violations, summonses that can result in fines, and tickets, and all these other things. It's a real pressure on business, especially because fines generally are not deductible. If you think about it, tax-related items, expenses, all this equipment, all the rates is a write-off. But a fine just kind of disappears out there because it's not a deductible expense. Right. It's a punishment. Yeah. So what you want to really do is try to keep all of your compliances out there to really reduce your risk of getting these kinds of fines. Mm-hmm. The problem is if you have a truck, there are issues, all kinds of issues about how your trucks are supposed to be, the lettering on the sides, all this stuff, what kind of driver requirements you have, what kind of logs you're supposed to keep, the state of the equipment. And at least in New York City, there's a whole enforcement group that just pull over the trucks. They weigh them, they look at them, they do a kind of inspection. Mm-hmm. On the state level, there's the Department of Transportation, they do all these things too. And then even in the outer places and other parts, there's town and village courts, and it's all this compliance, a lot of regulation. And generally what happens if you're not in regulation, you'll be issued a ticket. And the tickets can be very, very costly. So you have truck tickets.
Mm-hmm.
In New York City, there's Department of Transportation related tickets related to construction activity. There are Department of Buildings violations now. If you own a building, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in your audience that either run, manage, or own real estate.
Yes.
They all know that the Department of Buildings does inspections, and there's all kinds of rules. You have to have Boilers have to be, you know, registered, and you have to have all kinds of permits, and they check to make sure that after you've built something, you have a certificate of occupancy.
Right, CFO.
And, you know, you'd be surprised. And as lawyers, we come across situations where we see someone trying to sell a property without a certificate of occupancy, or work was done without permits.
Would a bank even process such a, I mean, would a, in the beginning, they but at some point, can a person get a mortgage without a CFO?
The answer is no, but not every property is either purchased with a mortgage or sold. Right, you know, there's, right. You know, there's all
what
kinds.
What do you
mean,
they show up with a suitcase?
Well, it's just that some people are self-financed, you know, where they sold some other property, now they're putting it into something else.
Okay.
You know, I don't really do real estate. Actually, I don't do real estate at all. But,
okay.
But, you know, you hear, you know, when lawyers get together, you always hear all the stories about, you know that pool that so-and-so had in their house? Well, that was never, like, legitimized. So now they have to either, you know, dig up the pool or now get the permits and, you know, whatever. You know,
fill it in with dirt, sell the house, and then...
you know, all that other stuff. So there's and you can end up in criminal court. Some of the things are actually criminal court. Some of the truck tickets and things like that are actually criminal court violations. If you're a corporation, you must have an attorney represent you. You can't just show up on your own. There's also the standard DMV tickets that everybody's familiar with. And of course, there's the red light cameras, the speed cameras. Right. I mean, there is no limit to the amount of ways in which regulatory authorities seek to make sure there's compliance. And without compliance, there are fines. And the quote revenue that's generated from this is the billions of dollars.
So now let's talk about a typical small business. It's on a main thoroughfare. Is it the fire department? What are the threats that are out there, and what can they do to protect themselves?
Well, the most important thing is to make sure that when you, first of all, you know, if you lease, make sure that your landlord goes with you on all the things that are, you know, that is there a certificate of occupancy? Is everything up to code? If you have special equipment, do you have the permits for that equipment? You know, if you're like a restaurant, there's all kinds of certificates you're supposed to have as far as food handling and the fire suppression systems and the smoke ventilators and things like that. Do you have all the safety equipment that you're required to have? Every industry generally has a lot of regulation. You know, even like if you cut hair, there's, you know, you have to have a hair cutting license. I mean, you know, it's really, there's just a lot of things that require permits and licenses. If you're going to do any kind of construction, if you're going to have any vehicles, the vehicles have to be registered. They have to be registered to the business. The side of the vehicle has to have the name of the owner. Sometimes you see a ticket called mixed registration, where the name on the side may have been something else, and then the registration something else.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's a very interesting question. Does a tenant have to look after these things? Meaning, it's the landlord's responsibility ultimately, but a tenant has to. Let's say a tenant's in a building and there's no CFO in the building.
Well, you won't necessarily, as the tenant, get a fine for that. But for example, you will not get a liquor license if there's no certificate of occupancy in your tenancy. So, you know, you really, everybody has to do their due diligence. And the problem is, when you get the ticket, remember, it's in your name. So you ultimately have to go to court and explain it. And a lot of times there's responsibility shifting and pointing. Well, you were supposed to do that. You know, there's leases that say, you know, we don't do anything. So if the roof needs to be replaced, now it's on you. But it's like, are you kidding? That's a capital item.
Right.
That's really should be the owner's responsibility. So good advisors. And advisors are really not just limited to lawyers. You need to have, you know, building inspectors. They're, you know, people who do as a living. Mm-hmm. They're building. They're engineers. They're
right.
They have all these credentials. And they go and they say, you know, you need to have this. You need to have that. There are different people who are experts in certain kinds of fields, like fire safety, and you should have those people. You know, there's all kinds of regulations about sprinklers,
right?
And you have to make sure that you're in compliance, that whatever things that, you know, you even see like in office buildings, you know, the elevator certificate where it says, you know,
and
elevators.
That's always in there. Right there in the elevator.
Right. It says certificate on file in the super's office.
That's right.
So there's always something. So find the people. See, a lot of businesses kind of just let things just run. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, are you in compliance? Who are the people who provide services? you know, if for certain businesses, you need to have pest control, you need to have whatever it is. Make sure that you're in compliance, that all your certificates and licenses are up to date, that everybody who drives your vehicles, that you actually make sure that their licenses are still valid, that they haven't been suspended. You know, a lot of times you see people with out-of-state driver's licenses, and all of a sudden they're not like an adjacent state, but like some way, you know, Alaska, and you know they're always driving. And at some point, you know, supposed to change your address. According to the DMV, for example, you're supposed to change your address within 10 days of moving.
Mm-hmm.
Or something close to that. And you see a lot of that. The amount of tickets I've come across is staggering, what you've seen. Everything from environmental violations where, you know, either, you know, smoke, they don't have heavy diesel inspection stickers, dripping oil. And these are major, major fines.
Now, when you say major, I want to put it in context. $700,
$1,000? It's much more than businesses could afford, because, you know, as I want this to be a little
timeless.
Could be $5,000,
$10,000?
Well, the thing is, sometimes when you get pulled over, you get pulled over for one thing, but when they start looking, all of a sudden they start writing more and more tickets. And I've had cases with truck regulation fines, for example, where I've had as many as 15 tickets on one vehicle. They sit there and they start writing. Well, your mud flap is cracked. Your directional signals aren't working. Your backup light isn't working. Your horn's not operative. You don't have a fire extinguisher. You have an unsecured load. You have an uncovered load. You don't have what's called the USDOT number. You know, after so many pounds, you're supposed to have this. Right. The driver didn't have a daily log. You're supposed to have the driver supposed to go around the vehicle and look and make sure everything's in compliance, keep that. Are you on the truck route? If you don't go, there's lots of truck routes out there, and trucks are supposed to stay on certain routes, and you're not supposed to be overweight. And there's certain things, like you could be not overweight for the streets, but you could be overweight for a bridge, and then you get pulled over for that. So there's lots of rules you have to have. If you are if you're a waste hauler, you need certain licenses from, like, say, New York City. In order to have that. And all those permits have to be up to date, and everybody's licenses need to be up to date.
Is there a certain time of year? I mean, you bring up a great point that every business should have some date, or maybe twice a year, where they say, you know what, I'm going to look at the law, look at the list, and make sure that everything is in order. It should it be done, first of all, more than once a year, and is there a certain date, or is it just arbitrary?
Well, the best practice is, have all of your employees' licenses and credentials and everything on file.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should really have a calendar to make sure the people who are under your employ are in compliance. If they're driving your vehicles, if they're doing deliveries, got to make sure everybody, you know, and there are companies out there that will do compliance, and they'll double check. They'll train drivers, they'll train staff, they'll make sure they have the right, you know, in the transportation business is medical certificates and logs. I mean, the problem is the amount of regulation out there is too numerous for anyone to really, really know. Even as a business owner, the laws keep changing, the regulations, there's federal law, there's local law, you cross into another state and then you're subject to their law, So the thing is, find the experts. There's so many really good experts out there in all these fields. Have them, but you should have a master calendar. When does your insurance due? Well, you know, your insurance. Everybody has insurance. Right, right. When is it due? Make sure 2 months beforehand reach out to your insurance broker to make sure that the policy is coming. You can't always rely
on the mail coming with the notice.
Know, especially now, you go away for 3 days.
Right.
It got buried. The notice was in an email, and it was under, you know.
Right, 700 emails.
Right. And the problem is there's so much clutter, digital clutter, that everything's coming in. It's coming in. It's easily lost. In fact, in many ways now, old-fashioned regular post office mail is more effective, because at least it'll sit on your desk, where something else gets pushed all the way down to the bottom.
My guest this evening is none other than Richard Solomon, noted attorney and business consultant. Again, how can people find out more information?
TheSolomonChannel.com is a great little platform for truck regulation, 346Broadway.com, because at one point that was the courthouse where all the truck fines.
Wow. So 346Broadway.com is your platform. 346Broadway.com, that's for all types of truck violations.
That's for corporations that find themselves with fines and summonses related to trucks.
Okay.
You know. And then my office number is 516-371-4924. 516-371-4924.
So. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis and Richard Solomon right here on 77 WABC. Always great to get together with him. And I want to especially give a thank you, because when I do shows with you, I get great feedback because they're like, hey, you know, he brought to my attention a number of items that I did not realize. And that always is, as I say, gives me nachas. You know, I like bringing guests to the listeners. Not that you don't have access to, but ideas that you scratch your head and say, oh my gosh, I really should be thinking about that. And that's what Richard brings to the table. So Richard, thank you for joining me here in Mind Your Business.
It's my honor to be here. And
thank you.
And to be on AM. This way I get to be like the National League and the American League.
That's right. So are you for the DH or not? Okay. Now, we're going to now move to trade secrets and employees. But before I do that, as we have a great relationship, and I know you cannot share anything that's confidential. I mean, that's your line. But you always have great, we'll call them war stories. In the first segment of the show, which in case you missed it, folks, it will be up on MYB Radio by Tuesday morning, we talked about the importance of looking after all your documentation to make sure that you're not subject to any type of violation or to get hit with fines and tickets, etc. There's an expression in the marketing world is, make them feel the pain. You know, I want people to realize that if something goes awry, it could really be problematic. Do you have any good war stories to share?
Well, the one thing I could say is this, and the parable behind the story is do your homework, because and then a very good friend of mine always says, pleading guilty is not always the best option. So let me tell you a story. So I had a friend, and I don't really do traffic violations, but once in a while there's an exception.
Okay.
And so the people were in the car, they were in New York, and the driver, the passenger, has some very challenging health conditions. And the driver actually used the cell phone to make a call. And the police, of course, pulled them over. It's a tough ticket because there's a number of different points, you know the DMV point system in New York associated with use of a cell phone. And financially, it's also an impact too. And if you have too many tickets altogether, there's a point system. If you hit too many points, you can be suspended. And then if you hit so many points, then they have this thing called the driver responsibility tax. So, right now, at least Showtime, if you have like more than so many points, like say, I think it's six. You have to pay an extra fine on top of it. So, but it keeps changing. So anyway, you always want to keep out of the court as much as possible. So they got a ticket for, you know, improper cell phone use.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to court and I said, well, you know, the reason why they were on the phone is it was a medical emergency. The pastor was having a very, very bad medical episode and they were actually calling the actual surgeon and oncology people who were dealing with this very tragic situation. So when the police pulled them over, the police said, well, you know, we can call 911 but 911 wouldn't have helped because this was
right. Well, they're going to take them to a local hospital who's not familiar with the medical framework of that individual.
Right.
And it would just recomplicate the whole thing.
Right. Because what they do is the better option, at least for them, which is to call the cancer surgeons,
who knew that patient.
Yes. And this was an ongoing.
Instead of shoving them into an ambulance and
of course they got a ticket. So, so we go to court, and so I looked up the law, and I said, look, you know, did you realize there's an exception for calling police, fire, a doctor's office, you know, a hospital? There's all these exceptions. Mm-hmm. So I brought it to the court's attention. I said, you know, there is an exception. It's not just the 911 exception. The exception is if you're calling. These are all the exceptions. And if the call is being made in that pursuit, so even the court, you know, we brought the medical file, we brought the actual pharmaceutical product that was an issue. And we said, look, you know, that we were calling the specific, this is all part of the exceptions to the rule.
Right.
And the court actually realized that we were correct and dismissed the ticket. Mm-hmm. So you do need to do your homework.
Right. Right.
Dealing with tickets is a burden. It's a time burden. Even when you win, it's a time burden. But you kind of have to see where your moves are because it's important to fight where you can. And sometimes you do have rights that should be enforced. So
we're going to move along to trade secrets and employees. That's a wide open area because that could include, you know, NDAs, enforcing documents. What happens if you have people on your team and they move somewhere else? But yet at the same time, they're carrying secrets, confidential secrets within the company. That's just such a wide open area. Richard, how do you advise on that?
Trade secrets is a tricky process because trade secrets encompass everything from how you actually do things.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manufacture something? Sequencing, delivery, shopping, getting good prices. You know, when you think about it, like – just even how like you do your radio show is a trade secret. How you get your guests. How do you format the show? How do you get the sponsors? How do you get the social media out there to support the show? That's all your trade secret. It's all formulas. You know, everybody thinks of trade secrets as the secret recipe for the soda in the vault in Atlanta. Only two people know it, and you need two people to turn the key at the same time, you know, 7 feet apart. But there are so many trade secrets. Now, you can't protect all of them.
Right.
And there's a lot of information on the internet now anyway.
Right.
But what you really want to do is, to the extent, I've always been a believer that to keep trade secrets secret, you just don't memorialize everything, and you don't really spread out. You know, you don't need to. It's almost like a need to know. If everybody in the organization doesn't need to know something that's somewhat proprietary, your supply chain, your this, your that, how you get good credit, how do you do this versus your competitors, just keep it closer to the core group of people that really need to know it.
Right.
The second thing is, to the extent that you have certain information, you should have employee handbooks that specify what people's obligations are. You should really mark certain things confidential. Nobody really thinks about that, but if something is really confidential to a business, you should either have a rubber stamp or something at the bottom that says this is a confidential document, and it's the property, the intellectual property of, you know, Mind Your Business Radio.
Right.
Because this way, if it gets copied and it's out there, at least, you know, there's a way of saying, look, you know, that was an improper copy. Right. Certain businesses have documents, have certain kinds of stripes that this says do not copy. The more important thing is don't generate it. If you don't generate it, it's not a problem. A lot of times there's issues with NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and this and that. And a lot of times I say, why don't you just tell me what you can tell me from public domain information? What's out there? Because I think there's so much of a quest by so many people to be overprotective that they overreach on, like, well, everything is confidential. Everything's not confidential. You know, if you're building a building, the architectural plans are what they are. Everything's publicly filed. You need to have permits. You know, who the contractors and building people are. It's all public record. So even though you think it's sort of proprietary, some of it is really not as proprietary as you think. So let's talk about what the world knows, because nothing, you know, trade secret really means a secret. Whereas if something is, you just don't want it to be widespread, then you say you could have agreements. Look, we won't post it on the internet. We won't put pictures of the project out there. Right. But, you know, that doesn't prevent a lot of other things from happening anyway. NDAs are more of a thing of comfort. Okay. You still have to, if they're violated, you have to enforce them. You got to go to court. You have to get an injunction. Maybe that's a bond has to be posted. So what I always say is keep the secret secret. Try to deal with mostly public information. And then really just deal with people you trust and respect, because trust and respect is more powerful than the best agreement. I remember I had a client who said, I don't trust this guy. That was the first phrase. I don't trust this guy, but I want the best agreement, you know, ironclad. And I said to this particular gentleman, I said, the fact that you said, I don't trust this guy, that's the operative part. Right. Because agreements are more like mechanical items, where they just shows you how things work, how things are supposed to be done. But if people are going to break an agreement, breach the agreement, you know, the more proper legal term, it doesn't matter what the agreement says, because you have to go to court, spend money, the war of attrition, and prevention. Let me tell you, the best legal advice I could give to all the people out there is prevention is better than lawyering. All right. When it comes through our doors as lawyers, the carnage has already happened. Now it's, you know, finger pointing and responsibility shifting and blame. It's better if our offices were quiet and we help people prevent things. It's like medicine. Right. The best medicine is preventing things as opposed to curing. Now, obviously, when there's a terrible disease or even
you want to cure it.
But prevention is so much better. It's just so much better economically, emotionally, and the more businesses can prevent things by reducing risk and ensuring compliance and being more careful. You know,
my guess is the noted attorney, Richard Solomon. How could people get in touch with you?
TheSolomonChannel.com is great. 346Broadway.com is
another. 346Broadway.com is specifically for
truck regulation
fines.
And I actually have a lot of information on there about where the different criminal courts are for the truck fines in New York City. My practice is only limited to New York State. And I don't really practice upstate or anything like that. Down here. I'm a local boy.
Got it. And what's the phone number?
516-371-4924. And I can't go too far from my radio station. They would miss me.
What's the phone number one last time?
516-371-4924. During business hours. Because if you call now, I won't be there.
So, okay. But it takes a message?
During business hours.
Gotcha.
What's interesting is I don't really have an answering system during non-business hours, because a lot of times what would happen in litigation, especially before email, people would leave a message for you at like 2 a.m. All right, we're going to file an injunction tomorrow. Be there. And of course, they would go to court the next day
and
they say, we left a message.
I was going to ask you, because it's fascinating. I mean, knowing you and I know, if, let's say I were to call after hours or whatever it is and not having a message, I was always going to ask, you know, Richard, you're a smart guy, Richard Solomon, he's a smart, bright guy. Why don't you have that? And now I understand.
Because of the midnight injunction problem. So people who really need me have private
modes of getting a hold of you. But otherwise, that's because people would do it. They would just leave that message and then show
up. And they say, we left a message and obviously he's not here. New York's a tough town.
Hi, Richard Solomon is my guest. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Sol, Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Sol, Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol, Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. Special thank you to Ramon Ray, my guest from last week, and a special thank you to Jeffrey Hazlett, who's sitting in for me next week when I'll be out on holiday. My guest this evening is none other than Richard Solomon, noted attorney and business consultant. Richard, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It is an honor to be with you,
thank you, as always.
And
thank you.
We always have such a really good rapport.
Great,
it's that radio thing.
It's true. I'm AM, he's FM, but hey.
So we got the whole band.
NL and the Yale.
Exactly. Just like need a little CB, you know. For those old enough to know what a CB radio is.
We're going to go to something that we teased you about early on in the show, and that is cash flow dynamics. Now, you might be wondering, what does an attorney have to do with that? And the answer is, he's also a noted business consultant. Richard is a noted business consultant. I know, and by the way, I've drank the Kool-Aid. I work with Richard, and I found him to be extremely knowledgeable. Is a nice accolade, but strategic, I think that's the word I love to use here, because he's not only an attorney that just grinds his way through and and tries to come to a solution that way, but is very strategic about how he goes about it. I mean, there was a certain case, obviously we're not going to go into specifics in public, but there was a specific case he was working on for our company, And because he was so strategic, we settled in a very, very positive way. And thank you for that case, Richard.
Well, thank you.
And it was because I remember the ins and outs that you didn't just grind your way and hammer the other side. You were like, you came up with the right strategy in order to deal with it. Let's leave it at that.
It's chess moves.
Right.
It's chess moves, not sledgehammer.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So let's talk about cash flow. And by the way, feel free to share any great stories on that.
All right. Well, the first thing is an understanding. And it's not a very well-known understanding. But I'm going to give you service. Okay. So when I'm lending you the service, I'm actually really lending you money. All right.
I'm paying my people.
Right. You're going to do marketing, right?
Right.
All right. So you're going to do marketing and then send me a bill, right? So in a sense, you've lent me the dollar value of that marketing service for that time.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, there's almost like a financing going on. So you're hoping that the loan's going to be repaid. So people don't understand that when you are extending credit to people, 30 days, 6 days, whatever it is, whatever you're doing, and you send a bill, accounting services, engineering services, legal service, whatever it is, and you send the bill, you've actually really lent the money, and now you're trying to get the loan repaid.
That's right.
All right. Because
many people don't look at it that way.
Right.
Most.
Right. So what I always say, and I'm probably one of the few that kind of say this, you need to look at your credit lending risk. Because when you're extending all the services, it's not free. You know, labor's not free. Time is not free. It's an asset. Mm. And when you give your time and service to other people and you're not paid back, you're literally being defaulted on the payback of the loan. And that's a problem. And that's where businesses get into trouble because they weren't tight enough. You can't be too tight because then you have no business.
Right.
But you have to find the right level of risk, because there's always risk. There will be clients who have unfortunate circumstances. There could be health issues. They can unfortunately pass away. They can be bought out. There's all these things that can happen. But it's your risk. What is your risk? How much do you want to cap? You know, maybe you only want to give me X dollars of marketing service before the 30 days are up.
Let's say 2,500 dollars, $5,000, whatever it is. But then once they hit the ceiling, basically, that's it.
It's like, hey, Rich, you got to pay.
Right.
Or you know, Michal and the other people are going to slash your tires.
Right. We don't do that.
They just let the air out slowly.
No. We don't do that.
Just kidding. But you have to do that. You have to – now, one guideline is perhaps to lend money, so to speak, below the limit of small claims court, because small claims court is a mechanism for you to represent yourself without an attorney in most places. And depending on the jurisdiction, it could be as much as $5,000. It's some places it could be more, and in some places it's less, depending on where it is. But right now at New York City level, small claims court is $5,000. And that's true like Nassau County and some of the surrounding counties too. So let's say we do marketing services for $4,500. I don't pay. Well, instead of hiring a lawyer to sue me and this and that, you fill out the form. It's like, you know, $30 more or less to show you like the relative value, because it changes it a little bit and there's postage that the court puts on it. But for $30, you can sue. For the $4,500, you don't have to get a lawyer. You don't have to. There's no real discovery, which is the exchange of information and all this other complexity. You go to small claims court. So a lot of times, what I tell people is, limit your credit lending risk to $5,000, and then only limit it to a number of different clients who you're willing to risk.
Right, right.
And then this way, you can control your collections. You don't need to have collection agencies, outside lawyers, because all those people are more taxes. Because what does the collection agency do? They collect money, but then they take a piece of it.
Right.
Same thing with attorneys.
Right.
You know, they either charge an hourly or a contingency fee. And it's like, let's put it this way. On the $4,500, you get a lawyer, and they charge so much money. or they take a third or whatever.
Right.
Right.
And then they have to settle.
Right, because so you're not going to pay $45. Right? We'll settle for $22.50.
Right.
Right. And then the lawyer gets $800. Now all of a sudden, what do you have? You have $1,300.
That's a fun.
And what good is so? What happens is people are very bitter because it's like, wait, I was owed $4,500,
right,
and walking out with $1,300, I got stiffed, and it's like, that's the problem. So you need to reduce your risk.
Right.
Now, while we're talking about cash flow, mm-hmm, there's obviously small claims. One of the issues that I always see is, how do you determine for cash flow purposes of your business how to price your items? You know, a lot of times, like, what do you charge? Well, the guy down the street's charging, you know, $20 for the piece of luggage, but, well, you don't know what their rent is, and you don't know what their insurance is, you don't know what their overhead is. So maybe $20 is a good price given there, but maybe your rent is higher. So, or you have other circumstances.
Okay, but in that particular case, you know, doesn't the proprietor have to be competitive in the market? Because even though his expenses are more, if he's going to charge $22 for the same item, then no one's going to buy by him.
But maybe then you don't sell that item. Then you become more niche-y,
right,
and you sell other things. But one of the things is professionals.
Mm-hmm.
What is your hourly rate?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just kind of come up with a number. But you need to almost work backwards, which is, what does it cost to run your operation? Overhead insurance, the phone, the answering systems, whatever it is, the utilities. And then how many hours do you work a year? And then you should figure out what that hourly rate is. Now, if it turns out and you price out all your costs and your hourly rate is $255,
right,
and you're billing at $195, you're losing $30 an hour.
Right.
So you don't want to do that. That means you have to work more than the hours that you've anticipated,
right,
to make up for that differential. So you really should sit down with a financial person like an accountant and figure out what you should be charging, what your cash flow should be, what your revenue should be, and sort of use that as a guidepost, because a lot of people are very loose about how they determine, well, what does a lawyer charge? You know, $100 an hour. So there you go. I'll charge $100 an hour. And then you hear these crazy stories. Well, the guy charges, you know, $2,000 an hour. But maybe they charge $2,000 an hour because they do biomedical pharmacy, you know,
right,
applications,
right, highly,
which is, you know, really technical. Right. And the person who's doing it is both a lawyer, an engineer, and a pharmacist. And
right,
it's very specialized.
Right.
So there, that's a good bargain. But if it's just, you know, someone just review an agreement, well, that's not really, you know. So you have to find your spots, you know, where your niches are. As far as, if I could talk a little bit about,
sure,
wages, you know, there are a lot of new wage laws.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're always in compliance with the Fair Labor Standards Act, the federal, you know, there's federal laws about how you pay your employees, timekeeping, overtime. There's something called spread of hours that a lot of people don't seem to know about. But if you work so many hours, then you get an extra hour of free pay to cover that time. A lot of lawyers don't really know this kind of law because it's not something that's in what they do. You know, if they do real estate or do this and that, may not be. It's more of an employment / labor penumbra. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're in compliance. Maybe the accountants kind of know that because they deal with payroll.
Right.
If you have a payroll company,
mm-hmm,
those are great places to get some information. In fact, not only would you get sort of like the wage and hour information, but things like, one of the problems in the workplace that affects cash flow is sexual harassment. You have to have training for sexual harassment. It's there are new laws about that. There's all kinds of compliance. And the payroll companies actually have programs, and some of the insurance companies too. If you buy sexual harassment insurance, they'll help you to reduce your risk, be in compliance.
Right.
So go use the a lot of people have resources that are available to them, and they don't even know that they have them. You know, it's like, you know, you get all these like credit cards, but if you do this, you get this. You know, there's
right,
all these member
right,
benefits, but
right,
nobody knows about it. And well, you know, it's like when you get a car, there's roadside assistance, but
right,
nobody uses them. Look to see. There's actually things that are probably that you're already paying for that you could take advantage of, you know.
Richard, I there's one last area that I want to get to, which we'll get to right after the break. And just to keep the people, to keep the listeners in suspense, if I may, and that is the area about collections.
Okay.
Before we go to the break, how could people find out more information about you?
All right. For radio and public speaking, I like to do that too, is thesolomonchannel.com. For corporate truck fines, it's 346broadway.com. And for just general phone calls, 516-371-4924. 516-371-4924.
And again, no one is taking those calls now, as Richard described the reason why earlier in the show. But that's the best place to get him during business hours.
Right, yeah. Because a lot of times they'd say, oh, we left the message. And I'd say, hey, Judge, I don't take messages at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have a block.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets, terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Zaftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and of course on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is none other than Richard Solomon. Richard, we're closing in on the final, basically 5 minutes left to the show. One of the areas that we did not discuss yet is... I don't want to say a favorite area of yours, but an area that you handle so well, and that is collections. Perhaps you could even share maybe a war story about that and some tips for the listeners on that.
There's a lot of stories with regard to collection. I think the most important thing that people have to keep in mind is you need to deal with the collection process at the contract stage, at the beginning of the relationship stage, more so than at the last part, at the denouement.
Like where the carnage has already happened.
Right. Now, good example is, I'm Rich Solomon. Hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. What's the name of your company? Yeah, Rich Sol. Yeah, okay. Whatever. And turns out that's not the name of the company. Mm-hmm. The name of the company is something like Worldwide Marketing Enterprises of, you know,
of United States.
You know, of Orange County and, and other places, .com Inc., you know? And so you go to court. And, you know, you sue whatever it is, and then you try to collect the judgment. And, of course, there's no bank account. There's this, no that. And it's like, what happened? It's like, well, you spent all this time chasing the wind because the information that you had wasn't precise. And you need to know who are you dealing with? Who are the people? Who's the company? Where are they located? Are there multiple addresses? Are they in different states? You know, sometimes you're dealing with people in different states. You have to sue them in that state sometimes as opposed to here because default judgments are not necessarily honored. There's a lot of rules that I don't want to burn everybody with. Right. But it's really important. Who are you dealing with? And what are your mechanisms to make sure that you will collect? Limit your, you know, risk. Try to get credit cards to the extent that you can. Try not to deal with people that you don't really know. It's hard when you deal with, you know, the general public out there. Sometimes things come in as an emergency. I need this right away.
Right.
Thank you. Money. And all of a sudden, you know, you just see sort of the vapors of the jet stream coming at you, you know? Or, you know, is that dust in my face? I think that's sand, you know? You know? So who are you dealing with is a critical question. Business cards are not legal documents. You know, websites are not necessarily a corporate address. And a lot of people sometimes really work out of, those virtual offices. Right. They don't really have a real space. They're using a cell phone. They're kind of just, you know.
Floating.
Yeah, you know, they say they're running the business out of their shirt pocket. Right. You know, they got the phone. They got their, their little email stuff set up. Right. But if you need to collect money, where's that money coming from? Do you want maybe, and people feel, oh, it's intrusive to find out, the address and the references.
But Richard is making it very clear. You need to have that information. Don't just rely on goodwill and friendliness and all that.
And representations. Yeah. It's not, and sometimes people are not necessarily disingenuous with the information, but they're a little like, oh, yeah, everybody knows me as, Rich the lawyer, but that's not the name of the business, or Rich the radio guy, that's not how it works.
Richard, we have roughly a minute left. First of all, how can people get in touch with you?
All right, thesolomonchannel.com. I also have a lot of great stuff up on YouTube. I have a number of different shows up on YouTube. Richard A. Solomon.
Okay.
thesolomonchannel.com. And we have all kinds of great shows on many non-legal topics. We even cover Fleet Week and rock stars and great stuff.
And then what's the Broadway.com?
346Broadway.com is the corporate truck regulation website.
Which again, the phone number they can get in touch?
516-371-4924.
What's a quick takeaway?
Quick takeaway is do your homework. Don't be shy. Ask questions. And don't take things for granted.
Richard A. Solomon, noted attorney and business consultant. Thank you so much. And radio host on FM. Phew! I don't know. I can go up against him. What will do to my ratings? Richard, it was great having you on.
Pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Well, tune in again next Sunday night. It won't be me. It's going to be my good friend, Jeffrey Hazlett, sitting in for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Safliff.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.